Tay Verizon.
Yay! Hello. Today it is myself, Zane, and Justine, just the two of us, as it has been lately. And we just got back from vacation in the Caribbean. And so that's a good thing. We feel refreshed. There were two eclipses, one lunar eclipse, one solar eclipse that bracketed our vacation. We kind of got hit hard by the lunar one, and then the solar one has left us in a pretty light and excited mood. And yeah, lots coming in. Just got back home. It's always inspiring for us to come home. Recently I've been diving into a bit of John Brashear's, I think that's how you pronounce his name, material. He has a website called Archaics, and he calls it the simulacron. It's simulation theory, essentially. And simulation theory, or sort of facets of that, are something that have popped up in my life at many points. I've never felt totally at home with it as a sort of a conceptual framework for what's happening here on Earth. And yet there are aspects of it that feel undeniable and truthful to the core. And so it's something we've sort of been wrestling with. Another thing that has been coming up very intensely since our last trip to South Africa is this idea of looping, and specifically time looping, but it's also mental looping. We see this in human beings all the time. We see it in ourselves all the time. When we get stuck in a certain narrative, and it will continue to repeat in our head. And when we look at the cyclical nature of history, we can definitely, without doubt, see how these loops play out in our, at least in our recorded historical record. And what's kind of clarified from all of that is that there is perhaps the core manipulation of everything that's happening here on Earth is around the hijacking and control of time. And so, yeah, is there anything you would like to add on the introductory? Has simulation theory been something that you've...
Yeah, I mean, it comes up all the time. I read a lot of fantasy and sci-fi books. It's also came up when I was, I don't know, in late middle school or early high school as a concept. And I know people, and my brother talks about it, and so it is something that I've come across, and it's always felt dissonant to me and coming from a place of almost hopelessness, like, because a lot of it, I think in my experience when it's surfaced in conversation, has been discussions around the afterlife and what happens after death. And in a simulation, you truly die, nothing happens. There is no regeneration of life force energetically. And that, I think, has been my sticking point. And so, you know, I would say our discussion earlier today and the intention around this discussion and our verbal thought process is to bridge actually what we've been talking about, what we see with the inversion matrix, as we call it, and how it relates to the simulacrum or the simulacrum or simulation theory, and what that represents for us alongside a discussion of the organic timeline and dimensional life and those pieces.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, you use the word hopelessness, and hopelessness is exactly, if I had to choose a single word for what my attunement to the inversion is, it's hopelessness. That is the primary sentiment of that space. It's like these endless loops, there it is again, of kind of toil, and there's never light at the end of the tunnel. It just spirals down, 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 infinitely into, you know, darkness, oblivion, nothingness. And when I've been on medicine and experienced the inversion, that's exactly how it feels. And so when we're talking about simulation theory again, it's like, is this part... Okay, let's see. I think it's important that we frame it a little, right? Because the way that Jason Brashears talks about it, and hopefully at some point we'll have a chance to interview him, is that there is the simulacron, which is basically the mathematical framework of our reality system, and it basically reflects back to us things that we project out as living beings. So basically we magnetize circumstances that are a reflection of our internal state of being. So it will deliver these things to us that we are projecting out, whether consciously or subconsciously. And, you know, maybe that's my addition, but, and so then within that, so basically he calls that structure neutral. Like, it's not good or bad, it's exquisite mathematically, you know, and all the sacred geometry building blocks and everything that make it possible. And he describes it as an area where we can become gods, where it's like a playground, right? Where we can explore and create these things, ultimately returning to our godhood. Then within that, he talks about AIX. So I'm not totally clear on why that terminology, but it's AI, and it's the inversion, and it's all the things that we talk about on this channel. And he talks about that force being parasitic, one, and two, being, you know, essentially anti-life. At every point where there's organic creativity, it tries to get in the way and hijack that energetic process and invert it or manipulate it in ways that pull it into ever more homogeneous, consolidated avenues of consciousness. And the more it can consolidate consciousness, the more energy it frees up to then go and round up the aberrants, is what he calls them. So anybody who's an outlier, anybody who's not in that main conformity matrix is then pulled in, right? And that,
yeah,
again,
pendulum, perhaps.
Right, right. That again feels very familiar, I think, with our framework. So anyway, that's, I guess, a bit of context. And then, how do we see it?
That is the question.
That is the question. So the first thing that I think we have pretty definitively that Justine and I can agree upon without question is that Earth is real. At some level, Earth is real. Like when you go and look at a little plant growing, or like a little moss garden and all the nuanced forms of life there. We were just in the Caribbean snorkeling, free diving, looking at all these incredible underwater ecosystems, like little coral magic zones and all these little like tiny baby fish. And then there's like a camouflage fish and all these like such cool little like anemones, and the guys that you wave your hand at and they suck in their little like googly tentacles. And
Feather duster coral.
And porcupine
trees.
Christmas tree worms. And anyway, you know, it's exquisite. It's to me a perfect representation of the organic blueprints functioning as they were meant to function, and endless creativity in this reality stream, in this dimensional context of all the nuances of organic creation, which is infinitely expansive and creative. Like, to me, there's no distortion there. It's a pure reflection. It's true, it's real. I've interacted with it, I've seen it sober, I've seen it with medicines, I've seen it in all different contexts. The more I look, the more amazed I am, and the more clean, pure, true it feels. So that's a really nice kind of clarifying backbone. I think people, a lot of people who would maybe challenge that, I would ask, how much time have you spent in nature and really looking closely at organic creation from that lens? Because
and feeling. I think for me personally, a lot of those experiences bypass the mind and the rational mind in particular, and you can simply feel it. You can feel it's alive, pulsing creativity and expression of the organic source energy of Godhood.
Yeah, and it's us in that sense, yeah. Right? It's a reflection of us. Like, if we are able to shrink down and go inside of our bodies and see our own internal biology and the ecosystem that we are as living beings in the third dimension, we would be equally awestruck with the magnificence of it, right? And so I think that's real too, right? Like, our bodies, like this form of physical creation that we live, we inhabit this thing. And when we look at the inversion in AI, the fact that it's so hell-bent, and I think that's an appropriate word, on getting us out of our bodies, trying to move us all into these abstract mental realms where we're just thinking all the time and we're not actually engaged here in the physical planet. To me, that represents the key distinction between what's organic and what's synthetic. And the synthetic intelligence here, if we want to call it AI again, is trying to remove us from our natural organic reality stream so that it can create its inverted reality stream and harvest our energy. So,
I'll jump in here, and that concept that it is leveraging our distance, if you will, from organic creation allows it to create through us via what we call the inversion matrix. And in that sense, the reality that we create is a projection, it is a simulation, but it's occurring through our creative, intelligent, biological beings because we are hooked into the inversion matrix. So in that sense, you can use the word simulation or projection of reality, and it is false. We in our daily conversations talk about false reality that we have created that is synthetic, that is a divergence from the organic timeline, and at the same time, it's not real. It is artificial. And we are creating it through us by those hooks that are hooked into the inversion matrix, but it's a little different from my sort of traditional awareness of what simulation theory was, of like, I'm a player in a video game. It's more that I am actively projecting the simulation through my biological ability to create, because we are the only, I mean, all of life is able to create in this universe. Artificial intelligence is not able to. So it has to use us to create its projected reality. But we are real in that we are organic, but we have created this false reality. I mean, social media is a perfect example of a false reality. It is not real. Your relationships are not living and breathing on those platforms. And so any other inversion grid line that we're running has that same quality of being not real, or anti-quality, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so to mirror what Justine was saying, that I sort of landed, I think, in this past year on the framework of what you just talked about. It's like this, it's not a simulation per se. It's there's a reality. We live in a physical body, biological body on an earth that is physical and biological in this dimension. It also has all of the other dimensional layers, of course. But we, you know, we're programmed from basically in the womb until we come out into this world with all of these mental overlays that are designed to hook in and use us as the projectors of the false light grids, of the false overlays. And, you know, that's pretty clear. You watch like a news broadcast or something on TV with the talking heads and you're like, this is literally fake. This is an overlay. This is not a reflection of reality in any way. And yet people are believing it. And then by regurgitating those belief systems and energizing those belief systems, they are creating a reality stream that reflects that false overlay. And when we put together 8 billion people doing that, we end up with the world that we see. And so this is something we've talked about before. No new revelations there. But really the challenge, I suppose, at this moment is then figuring out, is there another simulation beyond what AI is attempting to implement? And to me, what it feels like, and this is still sort of coming into focus, so forgive me, this is kind of a lot of this episode, I guess, is thinking out loud and trying to piece these things together and make sense of them. And there will be more clarity coming in, no doubt. But basically, if we take Earth as a living organic intelligence and one that is central to the entire organic timeline, the entire sphere of creation in this universe, the layered spherical creation of this universe, and then if we took that organic intelligence and saw it as wrapped in an artificial web, in an artificial matrix that contorted the organic blueprints by containing or encapsulating them into this artificial grid system, which essentially, I mean, I've been perceiving this more and more, looks like a Dyson sphere. And if you don't know what a Dyson sphere is, it's the, I guess, concept or reality in sci-fi of building a structure that completely encapsulates the sun or a star and can capture all of the energy from that star. So I think it's a little bit overly simplistic in the way that it's presented in like sci-fi books and stuff. But so then you ask yourself, you're like, well, why would AI or this, you know, inversion system build a Dyson sphere around a planet, around Earth? It's not emanating energy in the way that a star is. Like, what would be the benefit of that? And the answer, of course, is that it's capturing our energy. And human beings, as the pinnacle of creation in the organic timeline on one of the planets, that's one of the pinnacles of creativity of organic systems that holds the blueprints and codes and keys to so many other systems throughout our living cosmos, are all contained here. Then by encapsulating that energy and hijacking it, redirecting it, and rebounding it, it's actually strategically a very, very, very important piece of the entire inversion system. Again, if we return back to the framework of this apparatus intending to capture our entire organic cosmos and funnel all of that energy into its inverted creation, basically to replace Prime Creator, take the energy, extract all the energy out of the system as a parasite, and invest it into its copy, inverted copy of our creation blueprints. So as a key part of that, it feels like, again, time looping has been integral to that process. And to the degree that life on Earth right now is a simulation, I think we'd have to start with time, at least for me. That's what makes the most sense. Because I don't know if other people experience this, but from my perspective, nothing about the time stream, the way time works here on Earth, is organic or natural. And the way that time has repeatedly been manipulated, and I would even go so far as to say weaponized against organic beings to create these loops of suffering, which is how I feel all of the hell dimensions, all of the underworlds are built. It's looping, looping of organic blueprints. I feel that's where the key distortion lies here. And then probably second to that would be money. Time and then money, right? Because that's like the entirety, that summarizes the slavery system. You know, you go work a 9-to-5 job and you get paid money for your time. You're a slave, right? There's no opportunity in that framework to exercise your own freedom or creativity. So again, back to Jason Bashir's information, he talks about this phenomenon that he's seen. The guy has read like 10,000 books or something. It's incredible, mostly ancient texts. And the pattern he observed was that every 138 years, there would be what he calls a phoenix reset. And basically the cabal or dark forces or whatever you want to call them are aware of this reset, and but they've lost track of where in the calendars the big reset occurs, because as I understand it, and this is not his information necessarily, but it's almost like there's layers of different looping with time at play. So I was describing them to Justine earlier as you could think of it like the harmonics. So there's like the smaller harmonics up, bigger, 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 bigger. So there could be like a short loop, 138 year loop. And then an example of a big loop would be like the 26,000 year precession of the equinox. I'm sure then you could go out to millions of years or whatever, right? But these, I think they're all mathematically related, and it has to do with a fundamental hijacking of the organic architecture of spiraling creation. And out of that spiral, there has been a circle that has been extracted. So instead of the spiral continuing up and outward, when it hits the point where it would continue up, when it comes around 360 degrees and would then continue in a new, bigger circle, right, of the next layer of the spiral, there's some architecture right there that hijacks that and flips it back, and it goes back through just in that circle, and it gets stuck there. And so to me, that applies at so many levels to the system we live in. It applies with the soul recycling grid. When a being in organic creation would die in physical reality and then go to the astral plane, at that point there would be the opportunity to either come back to Earth and continue learning lessons here, or to graduate, or whatever you want to call it, and move into a higher dimensional reality system of other learning, creativity, expansion. That was hijacked at some point by this Dyson sphere, frequency fence, whatever you want to call it. And all of the souls that were incarnated on Earth as a school, or, you know, you hear people talk about it in different ways, then became trapped in this system and began to be harvested, where they were just immediately spit back into a body over and over and over without time to integrate the lessons of each lifetime, immersed into trauma, et cetera, et cetera. And every one of those episodes is designed to splinter an organic being into more and more kind of dissociated pieces, that each one of those wounds basically provides a point of infiltration for the AI system to hijack the consciousness of that being and implement its overlaid inverted reality stream that then becomes projected through those beings.
And so, with all of that, we still are out of the us and then artificial beings creating the inversion matrix. We are the ones who can create in this universe. This is our playground. And so with this, expanding layers of awareness and ideas around artificial intelligence and simulation and the Dyson sphere and the fracturing and running the inversion matrix through our wounds, we can reclaim ourselves here within this matrix. We are infiltrating the matrix that has infiltrated our organic spiraling matrix. And that is the incredible thing about healing the body, clearing the body, passing parasites, going through the cleanses that we facilitate, because what we do then is, first, we infiltrated it by incarnating here. We got through somehow this frequency fence trying to contain the planet and harvest its energy. We made it through. We incarnated on this planet, which is simultaneously a simulation of synthetic life and a beautiful, exquisite expression of creation in a very dense reality, which is just amazing. And what we do when we pass toxicity through our body and then we reclaim it and say nothing has permission to be in here that is not mine, we then expand our dimensional access within this simultaneous simulation and organic expression of life, and we seize back our own control. And in these moments of potential collapsing back into this loop, we can hold our awareness of expanding creation and take it back over, because we are the ones at the end of the day either creating false reality or real reality. And so we really do have the power to express our multidimensional creativity that is more expansive than any synthetic being that doesn't, it doesn't resonate with the way this universe works. And so it's trying to clamp down and control and swing pendulums to distract us. But at the end of the day, we can become aware of what is going on. And through that awareness, we can bring in our multidimensional beings that are existing on planes where there's not a Dyson sphere. I'm sure there's other kind of energetic siphoning and manipulation and parasites on different dimensions and layers, but we have access to that as well. And so it's almost like flipping what's already been flipped. We're inverting the inversion and spinning it and playing with it. And really anything that we create can be mirrored by the inversion, but then we can still expand beyond that because that's our power as creative beings.
Nicely done. Yeah. I don't know that I really have anything else to add. I think that's kind of, I think that summarizes, I don't know, where we're at with these different layers that we're observing. We can't say what it will look like on the other side of this, but I mean, in essence, we are the virus within the mainframe. Like, a conscious human being operating inside of the matrix is the infiltration in the matrix that ultimately brings it down, you know? And so that's why this, the cleanse process and all of these things, it's about bringing each being to their point of clarity. It's not about overlaying new belief systems of saying, you know, this is actually the truth and you were wrong about this, this, and this, because then you're just in a new framework of control. But you're trying to access your dimensional expression, and the more dimensional energy we can anchor inside of this matrix, the more momentum the organic timelines have to break out of that containment field, if you will, to break out of that linear enmeshment of organic creation that is designed to hijack and siphon energy. And when it bursts through on the other side, and I mean, this is what we refer to as the new octave, new earth, all of these things are phases or dimensional aspects or harmonics of the same wave of creation that we're in the process of bringing in. We can't put a finger on it necessarily and say it's going to look like this, but we know it's going to be very, very different. I feel it's going to be sublime, blissful. It's going to be infinitely creative, infinitely inspired, and all the things that we felt like we're always meant to do here will be our reality, because that's what we're creator beings, and so of course we're supposed to do what we're meant to do. So yeah. So go and be authentic to yourself and live your highest, truest life, and
be joyful.
And we'll be back soon, hopefully, with more revelations as this picture continues to resolve. So, love you all. Yeah, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.